We are wrapping up the book of Proverbs today. Thank you for going through this with me this summer. It's been challenging and fun. And today we're going to be covering probably one of the more popular passages in the book of Proverbs, the end of Proverbs 31 here. Before we get there, I just kind of want to go back and remind us what Proverbs has kind of been all about. If we remember back in chapter 1, we get this instruction here in verses 8 and 9. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Remember, I've said several times, Proverbs seems to be kind of written towards young men, and specifically a young king and his people. How are you going to live in God's world? Are you going to embrace wisdom or pursue folly? And we've kind of gone and seen how wisdom and folly interact with each other all throughout the book of Proverbs. And they've been presented, remember, as a woman. Okay, so think, if you're a young man and you're going to have to lead a people, you're a young king, let's say, or just a young man, you're going to lead a family someday, you're going to want to consider who you're going to marry to. And the goal here isn't to like think of a literal woman, but you know, it gives us a picture of how we embrace either wisdom or folly. It can be a wise woman, Lady Wisdom, or it can be Lady Folly, who leads you down destructive paths that eventually lead to death. So young men, listen to godly wisdom. Listen to Lady Wisdom. She will guide you in the path you need to live a godly life. Does that make sense? So we've kind of had this picture of wisdom as a woman and folly as her counterpart. Which woman is the young man going to choose? Which woman are we going to choose to follow as well? So Proverbs 4:7-9, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. You have to start somewhere. You have to realize your need for wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. If you choose to listen to Lady Wisdom, if you partner yourself with her, she will lead you into an abundant life where you can rule, in a sense, in a godly way. Okay? So again, this is all picture language. It's not necessarily meant to be taken literally. But if we remember now from last week, we got to chapter 31. And if you want to turn there, you can. It says in verse 1, this is the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Okay, so what we're going to read today is kind of an extension of what we covered last week. Lemuel, you are a young king, and he needs to eagerly receive this godly wisdom that his mother taught him. He needs to protect it, and he needs to use that wisdom to help the vulnerable. And when you walk in godly wisdom, you will be rewarded with a godly, wise wife, Lemuel. That's the goal. What will she be like? And that's what the rest of this chapter covers here. So we're going to read through the rest of the chapter here, 10 through 31. So if you would stand with me, we'll go read through that, and then we'll go back verse by verse and cover this. So Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm. All the days of her life, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You may be seated. Now, it might be easy to check out a little bit here. That was a lot. But if you were paying attention, this seems like a pretty heavy checklist, doesn't it? Okay. So, let's just think about this from a literal standpoint first. Okay. Let's just go through this woman's day. Let's imagine she wakes up at 4:30 a.m. because that's probably when you have to wake up in order to start all of this. Okay. 4:30 a.m. She's already out of bed. She's grinding grain by hand. She's baking bread for the household. She's assigning tasks to the servants. No coffee, no snooze button. She's just going already. Okay. By 5:30 a.m., she heads to the marketplace to buy a field and plant a vineyard because she's a real estate agent and a farmer. Okay. 7 o'clock a.m., still before breakfast, she's doing her workouts. It says she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. 8 a.m., she's working her profitable textile company. She's making linen garments, sewing belts for merchants, selling her products in town, and probably running an Etsy shop on the side. Okay. 10 a.m., she's caring for the poor and needy, probably with bread that she already baked that morning. By noon, she makes sure everyone is clothed in scarlet, matching winter coats for the whole family. 3 o'clock p.m., she's doing a home inspection, reviewing the budget, tending to the vineyard, and checking the servants' progress. 6 o'clock p.m., while everyone eats dinner, she opens her mouth with wisdom and kindness, leading a family devotion before dishes. And then at 10 p.m., it should be bedtime, but her lamp does not go out at night. Translation, she never sleeps, right? She's either sewing, budgeting, or praying through the night watch. Meanwhile, every day her husband just sits in the gates, apparently networking and taking credit for how blessed he is. Okay, literal interpretation, if we read Proverbs 31, what we see is Oprah, Martha Stewart, Joanna Gaines, and Mother Teresa all in one. Okay, this is impossible. So can we all just lighten up and say, I don't think this is meant to be taken literally because nobody could live under the weight of this woman's schedule. Amen? This is crazy. So I think, what's that?
It's a good life.
It's a good life, maybe.
For the husband,
yeah. But I think all throughout the wisdom literature, you guys, we're meant to read it differently. We're not meant to read it literally, because literally, I don't think a lot of times wisdom literature makes sense. It's meant to be giving us a picture of something so that we feel something. Does that make sense? So all throughout Proverbs, even here, we get like these different examples and picture languages to help teach us something about whatever topic it is. Okay? I think it's the same here in Proverbs 31. We're getting a picture of something, not a literal checklist. So we need to change our perspective. So let's just stop here a second. We're going to change directions a little bit. But if I ask you guys, what animal, you know, symbolizes strength? What maybe comes to mind? Josh, what comes to mind? Boom! And you didn't even see my sermon slides, did you? You did not. Good job, buddy. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, a lot of times when we think of an animal with strength, the first thing that might come to mind is a lion, right? It's bold, it's fierce, it's majestic. But if we measure in sheer power, an elephant would crush a lion, right? Yeah. An elephant is stronger in sheer power. But there's a reason why we call this the king of the beasts and not an elephant. Because it captures the essence of strength in a way maybe an elephant does not. Does that make sense? So throughout history, then, we don't see a lot of elephants on shields. You know, we see a lot of lions. And we have Richard the Lionheart, not Richard the Elephant Heart, because it's giving us an essence of strength in a way that is fierce and bold, in a way that maybe an elephant or a whale or something like that would not be. Does that make sense? So here we have the essence of strength being captured in a lion. Here's another example I want to show you. This was from a few years ago. This is me and Misha at her first concert ever. This was, we went to Carrie Underwood. I was one of the only guys there, but it was fun. And we had a great time. So this is a picture of us that night, exactly what we looked like. But then a couple weeks later, I believe, she drew this picture. Okay, so now, this is not exactly what we looked like, but what she did here, I think, is portray something much more beautiful. Something much more beautiful than the exact picture. I mean, this is cute, right? But there's something about this picture that she drew that captures the beauty of our relationship. It reveals something deeper, her joy, her love, her heart, spending time with her dad. Does that make sense too? Okay, so jumping back to Proverbs 31 then, I think it's like that. When we read this section of Proverbs 31, it's not meant to be a checklist of daily tasks for women. It's meant to show you what wisdom looks personified as a woman. If wisdom was a woman, this is what it would look like. It gives this picture, this essence of beauty, of wisdom personified. And I hope that we can look at the rest of this again through that lens in saying, this is not a checklist for me to do every single day, ladies. This is a picture of what wisdom looks like if she was a woman. Okay, so let's go back. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. It says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So then, if we're looking at this wisdom personified, this godly woman, she is trusted and treasured. This is the picture of what it looks like for wisdom to show up this way. She's trusted and treasured. Kings, remember, this was written to King Lemuel, young man. Kings would often marry other women based on status or allegiance to different nations or profit. What can I get out of this marriage? And here, this godly woman, this wife for King Lemuel, is presented as someone who he can trust and treasure. Something far better than just aligning himself up with another nation's princess. This godly woman's value is measured in trustworthiness. There is no lack of gain here. He can trust her with everything. Next, the godly woman works hard. Verses 13 and 19. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Okay, she's taking care of all the clothing in her house. These are the things that she would use to make clothing. Verse 14, she's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. When I hear that, food from afar, I'm thinking she's not just sticking to some little, you know, local recipe book. She's saying, no, I'm going to get the very best of spices and flavors from all over the place. And I'm going to provide my family with the best. Myers and I, we just had Nepalese food last night. It was amazing. Wonderful flavors. It came from afar. Okay, this is the kind of thing, again, just think picture language. If we're going to eat, we want the very best of flavors and stuff. This godly woman, this wisdom personified, this is what she provides. The very best from all over the world. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She's very wise with her resources. And then it says, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. This woman's lamp does not go out. Again, it's not meant to be that she never actually sleeps. It's just meant to give us this picture of this is not a lazy or distracted woman. She's constantly keeping busy, taking care of what she's been given. Wisdom is expressed here through a joyful, faithful work that blesses others. Does that make sense? Okay, the godly woman then also is compassionate. If we look at verse 20, it says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Again, wisdom isn't about herself. Wisdom, she's generous. She opens her hand. The wording here seems spontaneous about sharing blessing. She sees a need and she opens up her hand to it. It's not simply, you know, planned out only this much. No, she sees a need and she meets it. And she's what she's doing here, she's reflecting God's own mercy, using her strength to help the weak. The godly woman is also prepared for tough times. Look at verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. If you look at the footnote there, I don't know if you have one in your Bible, but instead of scarlet, it could be translated in double thickness. Okay? She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Again, she is taking care of planning for tough times. She's prepared for it. Again, you think of the original audience here, they probably wouldn't see snow very often, but when they did, it was probably a big deal. Okay, so they need to be prepared for that. And here, the snow is equaling like crisis. And what this godly woman is doing, she's saying, I can't predict the future, but I can plan for it. I can make sure my family has what they need so that when hard times come, we're ready. And this fine linen and purple that she has for herself, I think this is just a picture of her own self-respect. She cares for herself too. She's making sure she is prepared for tough times and everyone in her care is prepared for tough times. The godly woman is also a blessing to her husband. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. When he sits, yes. Again, during this time of history, in this place in the world, the gates would have been the place where business and law and leadership, all the important things in their society and culture, this is where it happened. It was the public place of influence. So when it's saying this, it's saying that she knows how important of a job he has in these city gates. And his honor there is linked to his wife's integrity at home. He is respected and honored at work because she takes care of him and honors him at home. That's this picture of wisdom. It's taking care of things here so that when that person goes out, they are honored because they have been full here. The godly woman embodies strength and wisdom. verses 24 through 27. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And I think a lot of this is just kind of summarizing things we've already covered. But this teaching and kindness, the Hebrew word there is hesed. It's like this covenantal kindness. And she, what she's doing here, she's not dominating. She's discerning and discipling in all she does. She embodies this strength and wisdom. The godly woman is admired by her family here in verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Children and husband praise her. This is the fruit of her faithfulness. It's not forced praise. It's not, oh, man, I have to say good things about mom. It's, man, what a great mom I have. That's the picture we're getting. Husband, look, there's a lot of beautiful women out there, but you should see my wife. My wife surpasses them all. That's the picture we're getting here. Many women are good, but you are the best. And then lastly, this godly woman is honored by the Lord. Verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the climax. This is the secret of it all, the fear of the Lord. You guys remember back when we started this whole series, how often that fear of the Lord was popping up. The fear of the Lord is where wisdom starts. And here it ends with the woman who fears the Lord. She is to be praised. Beauty will fade and charm will deceive, but reverence for the Lord is what endures. And her life is ordered around God's wisdom and God's will, and her faith is what makes her beautiful. That's the picture that we're getting here. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her receive what she's earned, both as an earthly honor and a heavenly reward. This is the woman who fears the Lord, who says, "Yes, Lord, I will do your will." That's the picture. This lady wisdom is personified here. And again, it's a personification. It's a poetic way of describing how God's wisdom works in creation and everyday life. If we could make it into a person, this is what we would get. And this sounds awesome if it can be done. And again, left to ourselves, this can't be done. This is too much weight for any person, any woman to bear. You can't do this. And yet Jesus fulfills this picture. Jesus is the one who does all this stuff perfectly. Jesus is the true and living wisdom of God. And I know it's kind of weird to jump from, you know, lady wisdom to a man, Jesus. But again, this is personification. It's not meant to be taken literal. What is literal is that Jesus humbled himself, left heaven, came down to earth, lived this perfectly because we can't, and went to the cross on our behalf so that we could be forgiven and be in right relationship with God. That's why Jesus did all this, is because we can't. And he offers salvation and forgiveness and blessing and eternal life to anyone who puts their faith in him. If we recognize, yes, Jesus, you are the only one who can actually do this, then there is hope for us. And then through the Holy Spirit, when we put our faith in Jesus, when we humble ourselves before him, when we receive forgiveness, he also blesses us with the Holy Spirit. And he shares his wisdom with us through his Spirit. And he changes us from the inside out so that we can look more like him. And this is where I want us to shift one more time before I end here, because I think this godly woman personified in here through Christ is actually the church. So if we think of the bride of Christ, the church, think about how all this stuff applies to the church. The church is trusted and treasured, not because of what we do, but because we belong to Jesus and he delights to work in and through his people. That's what makes the church trusted and treasured. The church, the bride of Christ, works hard. The church serves faithfully in the world, using our hands, our resources, and our creativity to bless others. And what I love about this, you guys, is we're all different. I mean, look around the room. We're all different. We've all been given different gifts, resources, creativity to use, to work hard, to be this bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is compassionate. We open our hands to the poor and needy, using Christ's strength to help the weak. Again, we fail when we think we have the answers and resources ourselves. We don't. We need to channel Jesus' strength and wisdom to help those in need. The church is prepared for tough times. We don't live in fear. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, covered and secure. And maybe this is something to think about, especially with all the craziness going on in the news in our world. Even in crisis, we trust the Lord with our future. We're prepared because he knows it all. He's got it covered. And we don't have to worry about, what am I going to do? We need to be prepared, yes, but we're prepared because we know him. The bride of Christ is a blessing to her husband. She brings worship and honor to Christ before a watching world. The church's faith gives glory to the one we love. That's why it's so important, kids, all of us, that we sing together, that we pray together, that we hear God's word preached together, that we serve together, because by doing this all together, we are blessing our quote-unquote husband, Jesus Christ. We're worshiping together. The bride of Christ embodies strength and wisdom. Why? Because we have the Spirit of Christ within us, so we can then speak in kindness and truth. The bride of Christ is admired by her family. Again, the church is surrounded by witnesses who rejoice at what God is doing through the bride, past, present, and future. There is saints in heaven rejoicing and encouraging the present church to keep going. And we will join that, and the future church will continue to go because Jesus doesn't give up on his church. We admire the saints of old and the present church and those to come because they put their trust in the Lord. And lastly, the bride of Christ is honored by the Lord. The church, again, is beautiful, not because of outward appearance. Left to ourselves, we will screw up. We see it. But yet the church is beautiful and precious because we fear the Lord. We continually go to him, say, Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need you. We need your Spirit to speak to us and guide us. And one day, the bride will receive the reward for our faith and service and enjoy eternal life with our bridegroom. That's how I see Proverbs 31, you guys. This isn't a checklist for women. This is a joy and an honor that we, as the bride of Christ, get to live up to through Jesus' help, through his death and resurrection, through his Holy Spirit. The essence of wisdom and beauty is found in the bride of Christ because of the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. Amen? I was hoping to get an amen there.
Amen.
All right. And I forgot to change my template here. This should read Revelation 19. We get this picture in the end, right? John's seeing this vision. He says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.'" We get to be part of this, you guys. When we put our faith in Christ and trust him to do the work in and through us, we are the bride of Christ and we are beautiful. And then Revelation 21:2. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as" what? "A bride adorned for her husband." One day, all of the saints, all those who put their trust in Jesus, are going to be joined together and presented to Jesus for all eternity. Jesus, this is your reward. This is, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and this is your bride. They conquered because you conquered. They live because you live. And they're blessed because you are blessed. Amen? So Proverbs ends where the gospel begins, with a wise and faithful bride redeemed and made beautiful by her king. And the wisdom of Proverbs 31 isn't a pressure to perform, you guys. We can't look at it that way. It's a promise of what God is making his people to be collectively. We need to do this together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are wisdom in the flesh. You did what no man or woman could do. You lived a perfect life according to God's law and God's will. And Lord, you went to the cross in our place to set us free from the bondage of works and sin and pressure to perform. And Lord, you invite us to something better. Grace, love, mercy, and blessing. Lord, we thank you for faith. We thank you for the invitation to walk in faith and to grow in your righteousness. Lord, would you continue to make us look more like you together as a church? And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.